Hello, and welcome to the Scrap Go Scrap Podcast.
Yeah, that sounded lively.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something to say after.
You're supposed to do that in the 24 hours before the podcast, not in the 24 seconds beginning.
Yeah.
But who said we're professional?
I've been working on that. I just haven't come up with something yet.
Well, you know, first time Lenny.
Go ahead.
First time Lenny gets on here, he'll probably have something for you.
Yeah.
Then you'll spend hours trying to memorize it.
Oh, yeah. Not trying. Doing.
Well.
There is no try. It is do or do not.
Yeah. Yoda's an idiot. You don't get the do or do not unless you try. Well, you can get the do not without trying, but you don't get the do without trying.
I know. Anyway. Yeah. So, I found out something today.
You mean you actually learned some?
No, I don't learn anything. Restaurants are not allowed to serve fresh, farm-fresh food unless they get a special license to do so.
Interesting.
Yep. Everything has to be store-bought unless they have a special license to have farm fresh food.
So if you're a child of Satan, you're not allowed to serve godly food.
Basically. Restaurants have to get licenses in order to keep the New World Order out their back anyway. And then they got to get extra licenses in order to subscribe to, you know, healthy food.
Right.
So if you want to eat at a healthy restaurant, it's going to cost you more because they got to pay the New World Order more in order to serve you healthier food.
Well, what's that place that Gary took us to? That was overpriced.
Who?
Gary took us to this place and it was overpriced.
Oh yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah.
It was all natural and organic.
It was all natural.
Yeah. So now I have a little bit more respect for the higher prices at the organic restaurant. I mean, I have respect for them because they're forced to pay more to the New World Order in order to be able to serve us healthy food.
Yeah.
I disrespect them more because they're paying it instead of fighting it. All the restaurants need to come together and stand together and fight that kind of crap.
Well, but that crap came about because the more successful restaurants pushed for rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines that their competitors couldn't handle.
That or the Food and Drug Administration, or not the Food and Drug Administration, our friend Monsanto probably pushed for it.
Well, that too.
Because Monsanto wants people to be reliant on their seeds and their farming crap. So they pass, you know, they lobby for laws to make it more difficult for people like us.
Right.
And for restaurants who want to, you know, serve their customers healthy food.
Well, that said, I know there's a difference between churches and restaurants, but while I was working in the greenhouse, I had my phone read me the free church report again. And one of the things he wrote about was the fact that if you're a church, you don't have to file for 501c3 status.
Right.
You are already, by your very nature, tax exempt. All right. You are what you are. Okay. And these restaurants may not need to file for these licenses and stuff, but they're convinced that they have to. All right. And they're convinced that they have to abide by the rules and regulations. And, well, it could be as simple as, I'm not a state employee. I don't drive for the state. Therefore, I don't need the state's permission to drive.
Right. It's kind of like taxes. We don't have to pay taxes. It's supposed to be voluntary, but most everybody, thinks they have to pay them. Therefore, they pay them, and they won't stand behind people who don't.
Well, they're correct, because try not paying your taxes.
Oh, yeah. The government will come and take everything you own.
Yeah.
But like I said, the people don't stand behind each other. United
and
we
let's,
stand.
And let's put this in the right terminology. The government will come and steal everything you own, including your freedom.
And we, the people, won't stand together and fight the terrorists in our government.
Because this idiot was trying to avoid his taxes. He knows that if he wants to be free, all he has to do is pay his taxes.
Right.
Now,
United
the Egyptians,
we stand, divided we fall.
Now, the Egyptians were considered slaves, and all they gave up was
20%. 20%, and we're giving up over 50%.
I mean, That's all they gave up is 20%. They were considered slaves. I mean, they could have, you know, the humblest of slaves actually could have lived high on the hog if they were diligent.
Right.
You know. I mean, there's people here in America who do pretty successfully under these criminal conditions.
Right.
Anyway, there's a cupcake that I bought. Paid too much for it, and it was not made wholesome. All right,
wholesome.
But I bought it for a reason, and I still have it. And eventually, I'm going to have to call them. They put their phone number, they put their address, and they stated that this was not a
government sanctioned cupcake.
Yeah, basically. Cooked in the kitchens of so-and-so family.
Not inspected and not endorsed by the New World Order.
Right. And they boldly gave their phone number and their address. And part of the reason why I want to call them. Find out how that's working for them.
Yeah. So, was the cupcake any good?
No, it was your standard cupcake that you'd buy at the grocery store. It's just they cooked it in their kitchen. And it had some interesting food coloring to it. Well, you know.
But it's the thought that counts.
Well, it was the politics that got my attention of it.
That's what I meant.
Meow. So how many black cats did you see?
Meow.
Meow.
Check on them animals. Check on the goats and the pigs. See, because I don't see them in the kitchen area now, so I'm assuming they all went back to their pen. But I'm going to go find out. So if I lose signal, I'll call back in.
Right. But you better find those pigs.
Oh, yeah. They both were up here in the kitchen area with the goats and the cats. But they seem like they've been following the goats around. Well, the goats, about this time, go home.
Yeah.
So.
But the goats move faster than the pigs do. Well, no, Piglet actually moves pretty fast.
Both do, actually.
I don't see him moving fast. But
he's not slow. How many scoops have you been giving them?
Because they're sharing with the goats, I've still been giving them 5.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm cutting them back to 3. But,
do you have a way to feed them without feeding the goats?
No. I'll give them an extra scoop.
Yeah, see, I put it...
I'll cut them back to 4.
Yeah, I put it in separate piles. That way they don't have to fight with the goats to get to one.
That's what I was thinking about doing. Looks like they're in the area, but they're not in their pens. They're eating off of the hay bale and hanging out just outside that area. So, perfect.
Yeah, what do you think about that hay bale I rolled all by myself?
I don't know what you're talking about. What do I got? Chocolate's the first one to say, hello, food.
Yeah.
Can you say hi to David in the podcast? Meh.
Meh.
Meh. There's the pig. Awesome.
Awesome possum.
Awesome possum. Oh, stupid chocolate. Chocolate rammed the male, so I kicked her in the butt.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've actually done that to any of them.
Yeah. How badly did she ram them?
Not that bad, really. I'm just trying to break them up.
Well, at first she was ramming them hard.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know... Yeah, it's possible that that's the reason you might have lost the female. Because she might have broke the female's hip.
True.
I talked to our neighbors the other day. I'll refrain from names. They had no insulation. And their water froze. And so they moved to to Springfield.
Oh.
They sold all their animals and moved to Springfield.
So they're no longer.
Well, they're not giving up. Yeah, they're regrouping. Yeah, they're not giving up. You know, my conversation with him is she thought that they could do it, but they got three small children. And they couldn't do it with three small children.
I'm having to spread their feet all over the ground because otherwise the pigs aren't going to get any.
Well, I usually put the majority of it in the bedding in the two sheds. And the goats will get some of that, but the pigs will actually root it out.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the pigs have the advantage of they got that sense of smell. If there's one grain, they'll find it.
That's good. Well, it's not going to rain for a couple of days. So I'll put a little bit in their place.
If I'm in a hurry, I was putting it at the gate. But I try not to be in a hurry.
But I hear ya.
I can get in and out of the land in about 15 minutes if somebody's giving me a ride, so.
Meow. It's all good.
Yeah, what do you think of our large collection of black cats that we didn't bring to the land?
We don't have a large collection of black cats.
What do you mean we don't have a large collection of black cats? There's about five or six of them that have been coming.
I only seen three.
Well, okay.
And it's
while you're there, they'll probably show up.
And it's our usual three. Shadow, Mystery, and Mimi. That's it. There's only
eight
cats.
Are you sure it's Mystery?
Yes.
Because we were having trouble identifying Mystery before, and it turns out that there were several black cats about that were not Mimi and Shadow.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. And we should have two orange cats.
One.
Only one?
One orange and one peach.
Okay.
Peaches. Peaches and orange.
Now he needs a cream.
Yeah. Well, we had an OJ. But he didn't make it.
Yep.
And then, we got eight cats that I counted today. I can't remember which one's missing. We got Siam. We got Mystery. We have Orange and Mimi. We have Stinky and Shadow. That's six. Who's the other two?
So, do you have any way of playing Ron Ball?
Yes. I'm trying to think of who the other two are. Dang it. Oh, Peaches.
Yeah, we got
that's
Peaches.
Seven. Who am I forgetting? There's Shadow.
Well, I usually only see about three at a time. Sometimes four.
There's Siam. Oh, and Gray.
Gray Man?
So those are the eight. We'll play Ron Paul, and then we'll look at my notes. See what I have on my notes. We should probably read the disclaimer, too.
Uh-oh.
We'll do that after Ron Paul.
Okay. Now give me time to look it up.
All right, here we go. Once I find it.
Steel imports and a 10% tariff on aluminum imports may provide a temporary boost for those industries, but the tariffs will do tremendous long-term damage to the American and global economies. Tariffs raise the price of and reduce demand for imported goods. Tariffs ensure the preferences of politicians instead of the preferences of consumers to determine how resources are allocated. This reduces economic efficiency and living standards. Some justify these economic inefficiencies as being worth it to save American jobs. This ignores how tariffs increase costs of production for industries reliant on imported materials to produce their products. These increased costs lead to job losses in those industries. For example, President Trump's proposed steel tariff could cost nearly 40,000 jobs in the steel-dependent automobile manufacturing industry. Tariffs also cause job losses in industries reliant on exports. This is especially true, as is likely to be the case. Other countries respond to President Trump's actions by increasing tariffs on U.S. products. Many of President Trump's critics do not themselves support true free trade, which is the voluntary exchange of goods and services across borders. Instead, they support the managed by government trade of NAFTA and the WTO. NAFTA and the WTO promote world government and crony capitalism, not free market. Any libertarian or free market conservative who thinks the WTO promotes economic liberty should remember that the WTO once ordered Congress to raise taxes. Foreign manufacturers may make convenient scapegoats for the problems facing U.S. industry. However, the truth is that most of the problems plaguing American businesses stem from the U.S. government. American businesses are burdened by thousands of federal regulations controlling every aspect of their operations. The tax system also burdens businesses. Until last year's tax reform bill, the U.S. had the highest corporate tax rates in the developed world. The tax reform bill lowered corporate taxes, but the U.S. corporate tax rate is still higher than that of many other developed countries. The United States not only spends more on military weaponry than the combined budgets of the next eight biggest spending countries, but also spends billions subsidizing the defense of developed countries like Germany, Japan, and South Korea. Bringing the U.S. troops home from these countries is an excellent place to start reducing spending on militarism. The biggest cause of our economic problems is the Federal Reserve. America's experiment with fiat currency has enabled a system based on private and public debt. This makes trade imbalances inevitable as the U.S. government needs foreign investors to purchase its debt. Foreign investors get the money to purchase the U.S. government's debt by selling products to American consumers. A trade war could cause foreign investors to stop buying U.S. debt instruments and could end the dollar's world reserve currency status. This would cause a major economic crisis, but at least it would stop our shores from being flooded with cheap foreign goods. President Trump's claim that trade wars can be easily won is as credible as the neoconservatives' claim that the Iraq war would be a cakewalk. A trade war would likely push the global economy into a recession or worse. Instead of imposing costs on America.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, March 12th. President Trump's planned 25% tariff on steel imports and a 10% tariff on aluminum imports may provide a temporary boost for those industries, but the tariffs will do tremendous long-term damage to the American and global economies. Tariffs raise the price of and reduce demand for imported goods. Tariffs ensure the preferences of politicians instead of the preferences of consumers to determine how resources are allocated. This reduces economic efficiency and living standards. Some justify these economic inefficiencies as being worth it to save American jobs. This ignores how tariffs increase costs of production for industries reliant on imported materials to produce their products. These increased costs lead to job losses in those industries. For example, President Trump's proposed steel tariff could cost nearly 40,000 jobs in the steel-dependent automobile manufacturing industry. Tariffs also cause job losses in industries reliant on exports. This is especially true, as is likely to be the case. Other countries respond to President Trump's actions by increasing tariffs on U.S. products. Many of President Trump's critics do not themselves support true free trade, which is the voluntary exchange of goods and services across borders. Instead, they support the managed by government trade of NAFTA and the WTO. NAFTA and the WTO promote world government and crony capitalism, not free markets. Any libertarian or free market conservative who thinks the WTO promotes economic liberty should remember that the WTO once ordered Congress to raise taxes. Foreign manufacturers may make convenient scapegoats for the problems facing U.S. industry. However, the truth is that most of the problems plaguing American businesses stem from the U.S. government. American businesses are burdened by thousands of federal regulations controlling every aspect of their operations. The tax system also burdens businesses. Until last year's tax reform bill, the U.S. had the highest corporate tax rates in the developed world. The tax reform bill lowered corporate taxes, but the U.S. corporate tax rate is still higher than that of many other developed countries. The United States not only spends more on military weaponry than the combined budgets of the next eight biggest spending countries, but also spends billions subsidizing the defense of developed countries like Germany, Japan, and South Korea. Bringing the U.S. troops home from these countries is an excellent place to start reducing spending on militarism. The biggest cause of our economic problems is the Federal Reserve. America's experiment with fiat currency has enabled a system based on private and public debt. This makes trade imbalances inevitable as the U.S. government needs foreign investors to purchase its debt. Foreign investors get the money to purchase the U.S. government's debt by selling products to American consumers. A trade war could cause foreign investors to stop buying U.S. debt instruments and could end the dollar's world reserve currency status. This would cause a major economic crisis, but at least it would stop our shores from being flooded with cheap foreign goods. President Trump's claim that trade wars can be easily won is as credible as the neoconservatives' claim that the Iraq war would be a cakewalk. A trade war would likely push the global economy into a recession or worse. Instead of imposing costs on America.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Yeah, I almost forgot to unmute. And did I lose you? I think I lost him. Yeah, I know it's not the World Trade Bank, but these organizations are supposedly out to help us, often require third world countries to do obnoxious things to their economy. You're back.
Hello, and welcome to the Scrap Go Scrap podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, government interfering with our beeswax makes things more complicated and more difficult.
Well, and people fall for it. You know, everybody thinks they have to have an FHA loan now.
Right.
All right. Everybody thinks that they have to have subsidized government health care because they couldn't afford it without the government. But in both cases.
The government creates the problem so they can advocate a solution for the problem.
Here's the short version of the history of health care in America. All right? There was a war, and some businesses couldn't afford to pay as much for employees as other businesses could. And so Uncle Sam stepped in and said, okay, you may only pay this much for this particular job. Now, I might be willing to pay you $20 an hour to move boxes. And the guy down the street, he can only afford to pay you $10 an hour to move boxes. Obviously, I have a better business model than the guy down the street, or I'm going to go out of business because I'm foolish and overpaying you. One of the two. Okay? So whoever's right is the one who will, you know, outlast the other. Okay? And it could be we're both right. And so, you know, we'll both last. We'll have two different models, both working fine. But Uncle Sam stepped in and said, no, 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 no. You can't do that. It's an unfair practice. You can't pay twice as much as the other guy. Well, businesses needing to attract the best workers had to come up with another solution. And so one of the things they tacked in there was, we'll pay you a retirement.
And or insurance.
And that came up too. Eventually, insurance came up, medical and dental. They did these bonuses and such. And it kind of stuck. Even after Uncle Sam stopped sticking his fingers in the wage limit, these benefit things kind of stayed there because now people expected them. When in truth, the only reason they were there is because Uncle Sam fucked with them.
Well, and they didn't stop screwing with the wage limit. They still screw with it every year or every other year.
Yeah, but that particular thing, I don't think they actually set and say you can only pay this much. They have a minimum now that they keep screwing with.
Yeah.
And so Walmart tries to figure out ways to not pay people. And one of the things they figured out is that they can get their employees to sign up for welfare.
Welfare. These pigs are kind of cute. They look like dogs.
Okay.
With pig noses and pig ears. But they're babies. They'll probably look ugly when they get bigger.
Puppy pigs.
Acres USA came in today.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent. Party time. And fuck my paycheck. They screwed me out of $300, but other than that, everything was good.
Oh, they finally mailed it to you.
Yeah. They shorted me 3 days' wages. Actually, two days' wages. But, oh well, fuck them. I'm just happy to be out of there. So.
Politics.
Politics.
Well, you know. The politics of mismanagement of businesses.
Yeah, that too. Part of what Ron Paul was saying was kind of goes with what I started out with. You know, all these rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, these restaurants have to have higher prices for their foods because the government's, one, taxing the shit out of us, and two, having all of these codes and regulations and licenses that they have to pay for, which is additional taxes. So if the company wants to, if the restaurant wants to pay less taxes, they're not going to buy, they're only going to buy the minimum licenses that they have to buy.
Well, yeah. And, right, and since they don't want to buy the extra license for
selling organic farm goods or even farm fresh goods that are not organic, they got to pay more taxes. Pay more licensing fees. More government sanctions on everything we do.
Yep. Well, that's what we want, right?
Some people want that.
We wouldn't be safe without all those restrictions. I mean, look at China. They sell us all sorts of weird chemical, fake protein dog food and stuff. Because, you know, their government doesn't regulate them against doing that. Shrimp that have been injected with silicone and such, you know. But, you know, there's actually an easy answer to even to that. It's like, don't be a dummy when you buy stuff, because rest assured, people over here in America are doing the exact same thing. We lost you again. People here in America are doing the exact same thing to your food. They're doing what they can get away with, you know. And, yeah, the regulations might be relatively tight, and it might be difficult for them to get away with certain stuff, but they're going to do it anyway, you know. They'll either lobby Congress to change the labeling so that they don't have to call it high fructose corn syrup anymore. Or, you know, they might just simply slip in the high fructose corn syrup and tell you they didn't. You know, if they get called on it, if they get caught, it's like, oh, that, it was just that batch that got messed up. You know? So, anyway, I heard it ding. Are you there?
No.
No.
I'm prepping to go to the front of the land for the remaining of the podcast, so bear with me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I wonder how Rothkrantz's sister, niece, whatever, how she does her restaurant. Because everything she sells is right there on her land. Yep, he's doing something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Ow.
That had to hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. Sound like you said a mile away.
Carry on.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering how Rothkrantz's niece, sister, whatever.
Cousin.
Cousin. Glad you cut me off before I said the next thing. Anyway, yeah, I wonder how she gets away with it. Because, you know, basically she goes out in the field and gathers the weeds.
Yeah, we might, whenever I got freaking time, we'll have to take a trip out there and do some homework.
Ask them, how do you get away with this?
Yeah.
Problem, though, is there's plenty of people who will ask that question and then turn around and...
use it against them?
Yeah. So they might be likely not to disclose. Anyway. Yeah, so... my neighbor, the landlord, decided to mow right next to the greenhouse while you're doing Ron Paul. I'm glad you did the double replay, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mostly did that because we couldn't hear the beginning on the recording.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take the animal or the pigs or whatever, the fourth cup. Since they went out and foraged today, they probably don't need
that. Well, but it's a treat that they only receive there.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's good. If you're going to turn them loose, it's good to give them a treat so they have reason to return.
Oh, yeah.
Politics, man. No. Politics.
Politics. So next month we'll cut them back to 3 scoops.
Yep.
There'll be a lot more greenage for them. And they demonstrated they can be let out with the goats. Follow the goats around.
Yep.
But we'll see how it goes for this week. Well, I'm not going to be home all week. I'm only going to be home for a couple days. Then I got to go to Kansas City and take care of business up there.
Well, I'm hoping.
But it won't be 2 months before I come home this time.
I'm hoping to have sweet potatoes in the ground in the near future.
Cool. I'll be right back. My phone's on the charger. Go ahead and read the disclaimer.
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to look that up while I was listening to Ron Paul. That could be trouble. Okay. Yeah, I don't have it pulled up. Sorry. All right, he's away from the microphone, and he can't hear the fact that I don't have it pulled up. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, when I open up my browser, I have a million pages open up. There's some subjects that I'm looking into constantly. And so when I do open my browser, it takes a while for it all to open. Ah, well, there it was. Come on. If I tell you to go away, you should go away. There we go. That's the page you want. Now I need is for it to load up. Yep. Come on. Load, disclaimer, load. Well, we're going to have to get Kano to record this. Legal notice. This podcast is very controversial. Actually, it is. This podcast is our personal opinions, our views, our beliefs. This podcast is for educational and or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our firsthand knowledge is your hearsay evidence, and you should always go and do your own homework. And that includes even if you're not listening to us.
Yeah.
We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow terroristic, tyrannical, de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s, or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to go and do what is right when it is right because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, and your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties of your neighbors, your community, your people, and your homeland. And that strange music I heard was actually coming from my computer. That's why I paused. I was wondering what Kano was doing in the background. I was like, no, it wasn't him.
Wasn't me.
The Lord gave you free will. Could you please use it wisely?
Por favor.
Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would have them pray for you. Love others as you want them to love you. Go and read that in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure the King James Version will do. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines. We are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases.
Have you ever wondered?
Great.
About the world's first advanced civilization.
Hold on a second. We can fix that. Yay, got it. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is the result of a nutritionally deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and or other animals. We are not man animals, as described in the FDA state and federal regulations under U.S. Code Title 15, Chapter 2, Subchapter 1, Subsection 55, Parts B and D, and U.S. Code Title 21, Chapter 9, Subchapter 2, Subsection 321, Part F.
321.
and so forth. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us. Yeah, that man or other animals and or other animals. By federal law, all the regulations telling you what drugs you can take and who can prescribe them to you and what's legal and not legal, all of those rules and regulations have a definition of man that says man's an animal. And they do it very subtly. They say, if it was designed for use on man or other animals. Okay. Well, if I said dogs and other rocks, you'd know that I was out of my mind, because dogs are not rocks.
If we said cops or other criminals, you would think we were crazy too, because you automatically, well, some people think the cops are the good guys.
Well, they often are just another criminal.
Often.
Well, most time, actually, because they pull you over for a traffic violation in which you harmed nobody else. And they demand that you either pay the extortion or show up before another thug, before another crime boss, and are forced to pay more extortion for the privilege of going there and trying to defend yourself against this crime boss. So you really can't, you know. They are other criminals. But most people would think that was a weird thing to say. It's like, well, police aren't criminals. They fight crime. No, well, they fight competition. but
oh,
they
yeah,
do act
don't steal. The government hates competition.
Yeah, they do actively steal from you and extort from you. And while it is stupid to not wear a seatbelt, who was harmed? You know, who owns your body anyway? You know, if you want to do something that's stupid and results in you being irreparably, I can't even say it right, harmed in such a way that it cannot be fixed.
Almighty Uncle Sam owns my body.
Well, If he made it, then I guess it's I don't know. I don't know. I'm watching this sci-fi where this company made these robots. But the robots gained consciousness. I'm sorry, but there comes a point where there is a living soul in that piece of machinery that you may have built, but, you know, it has a right to own itself, you know?
Never.
Well, that's what the corporations in the TV series will say. It's one you clued me in. It's called Humans. They'll be doing season 3 this year.
Manimals.
Manimals, yeah. So, I mean, God gave us freedom. And you may be born in a circumstance where you don't know that God gave you freedom because there's other humans exercising they're exercising authority over you, doing it with guns, or even psychological warfare where, you know, there's plenty of slaves who wouldn't run away in America because they were convinced that their owner had legitimate ownership of them, and it would be an act of theft to run away.
That's crazy.
Well, it is. But where do we live now?
Oh, I know.
And that mindset still exists, and you just can't really get through to people because they can't accept that they're slaves. Well, my government says I'm free, so I must be free.
I'm not a slave. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want.
Yeah. As long as I don't get behind the wheel afterwards.
That too.
Because all that person wants is to be in a drunken stupor all the time. And you're free to do that.
Yeah.
You're welcome to have free speech so long as your action is as long as nobody takes action on it. You know. But the purpose of having free speech is so other people will take action on what you say. So where's the free speech? Where is the free speech then?
What is free speech?
No. Yeah, that too. Oh, yeah, and then they had, I forget where it is, I think it was in Washington, D.C., they had these free speech zones.
Where, you had to be in a zone?
You had to be in a zone. You had to be in a certain area in order to have, in order to speak your mind. In other words, voluntarily walk into this place where you'll be easy target practice. And say what you want.
Perhaps.
You go ahead and do that. You have your, I forget what it was. I guess it was Black Lives Matter or something like that, the local government purposely granted a permit to the Aryan Nation to have their event right next door.
Yeah.
"Oh, we're sorry. We didn't think that there'd be any violence. It's just free speech, after all."
Right. They create a problem so they can advocate a solution for the problem, which puts more and more power into their hands.
Yeah. I wish I could remember what their particular solution was on that one. But, yeah, it is consistent. And they set those things up on purpose. I mean, Ku Klux Klan is usually filled with ignorant, stupid people. But there's almost always an intelligent mind behind them, usually in the local government, who takes advantage of the fact that the Ku Klux Klan exists and encourages them to do really stupid shit so that they can enact more rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines, supposedly for the safety of everybody.
Right.
And strangely enough, the rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines they put into place in order to stop the Ku Klux Klan from doing that again somehow doesn't seem to affect the Ku Klux Klan.
Of course not.
Because it's...
That would be un-American.
Because it's applied strategically. So.
Well, yeah. They selectively enforce the rules.
Yeah. Hey, monologue for a little bit. I got to close the door here.
All right. This is totally not on subject, but... Oh, shit. Get out. I almost killed one of my chickens.
That's an interesting monologue.
Yeah, make sure you, have some sort of something equipped that won't let you kill your chicken.
Okay. Do I have a chicken now?
No, I'm playing this game.
Oh.
Some hornets got in and killed my chickens.
Hornets?
Yeah.
Now, I taught my mom's real life chickens to, actually, I taught them to crack open the mud dauber's nest.
Cool. I got 2 fertilized eggs so far. Yeah, equip my sheep shears. The sheep shears will keep me from killing my chickens.
Okay.
That or the equipping the shovel or knitting needles.
Oh, you kill animals automatically when you get close to them.
No, you got to hit the action button. But when you're opening your door, sometimes you got to use the action button in order to open doors. Well, if you don't have a tool equipped, you may accidentally...
choke a chicken.
Yeah, basically. I'm breeding chickens right now.
Now, this is not a political podcast subject.
Yeah, I know. It could be political, because in the game you trade with silver and gold, and you barter for things.
You know what? That is true about a lot of games. It's gold. You get gold in the games.
Yep. Not Federal Reserve notes.
So when we write up our game, we'll have to have alternative currencies available.
Well, they have alternative currencies. My alternative currency in this game It's feathers.
Feathers.
I'm a chicken farmer. Everybody wants feathers. Feathers are valuable. Exchange-wise, they're not more valuable than gold or silver, but they're more valuable in the fact that you will never have a problem selling them. I have other things I have problems selling. Feathers, I do not.
Well, there you go.
So feathers are my currency. But, and I basically use feathers to get gold and silver and other items that I need, and other items that I need. So yeah,
so in real life for us, it's sweet potatoes.
For now.
For now. Later it'd be garlic and onions.
True.
So, yep. Yep, yep. So you got no signal down by the kitchen?
Not enough.
Not enough.
I got 2 fertilized eggs. I gotta dig for some more worms.
Oh boy.
Oh. They just dropped the feather. See, now I got the shovel equipped. The shovel will not allow me to kill my chickens. But the problem with the shovel is I may dig a hole in the chicken coop and then they won't lay their eggs or drop feathers. They'll only drop feathers and lay eggs on the grass.
Okay.
Computer programming.
Right. Game rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines.
Yeah. But I'm figuring out how the system works. I've got different size coops. And the bigger the chicken coop, the better your chances of getting a fertilized egg. The problem is, I need more space, but critters get in and kill all my animals. So I've created smaller coops to protect them, and so I can have more of them. But now that I've built up my my base, I'm about to expand my chicken farm.
Yay!
So, as soon as these guys stop laying eggs, I'm gonna go to my podcast notes because I gotta collect these eggs real quick before they vanish. And I figured out what to do with the non-fertilized eggs.
Okay.
You eat them. You eat them.
All right.
Yeah, you just basically cook them up and eat them. They give you as much life as a fish does. Not as good as beef, but better than fruits and vegetables in the game. All right, podcast notes.
They don't encourage you to eat your veggies? What a horrible game.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. Okay. Oh, okay. We talked about this one already, but we'll go ahead and touch on it because everybody loves this subject. I heard on the radio this guy saying that he supports the Second Amendment 100%, but does not believe that we need automatic weapons in order to protect ourselves. In order to keep the government in check. He said that basically the Second Amendment was written back in the days before automatic weapons, and it was written for the citizens or sovereigns of the country to protect the country from a tyrannical government. but we don't need automatic weapons to protect the people from a tyrannical government that has automatic weapons.
Now, his conclusion's wrong, but some of his premises are correct. It's been demonstrated that people with pitchforks and knives can actually fight off an oppressor who has advanced weapons.
Well, yeah, we have the numbers. They have the weapons. We have the numbers.
We have the numbers. We have the knowledge of the area. You know, they'd literally have to bring in locals in order to really get at us.
Right. Which is why they're trying to get local law enforcement to, you know, militarize, whatever that word is, so that they can be their driving force.
Right. Yeah, and teaching the police and the sheriffs and law enforcement that the average citizen is actually hates them, and they're in constant danger. And it's like, and it may be true, the local citizen might actually hate law enforcement.
Well, for good reason. I mean,
yeah.
Only because of what they do, not because of who they are.
But even then, this fallacy that police have a dangerous job, your average farmer is at greater risk just farming than the average police officer is sitting in his cop car eating a donut. You know.
Well, he's actually in more danger from eating that donut than he is from, damn chicken, get back in your coop. Thank you.
It's the greatest danger to them is their own stupidity, their own action.
Right. That donut's more dangerous than we are.
Yeah.
Because that donut was not probably made by organic farmers.
No. And oh my. Well, I guess I won't go that way.
You're playing your game too.
Yeah. I'm fighting Barlogs. And
so basically, we are the standing army. We need to have what we need in order to protect our country from a tyrannical government, whether it's our own tyrannical government or another tyrannical government.
And
our government's job is one. Oh, I used to think it was had two jobs. To protect our borders and to protect our freedoms and our liberties. Now, I believe that they have one job, and that only one job is to protect our freedoms and liberties. We are supposed to be the standing army.
Well, yeah, we are. There isn't supposed to be a standing army of the government. There's supposed to be us, well-armed, ready to defend ourselves from enemies both foreign and domestic. You know what a domestic enemy is? A domestic enemy almost always has to be the government.
Right.
You know, if you got a domestic enemy, they are in government positions.
Basically, the domestic terrorists or domestic enemies are the dumb criminals and the smart criminals. The dumb criminals are the ones you have to worry about on a day-to-day basis, you know, on the streets and whatnot. And guess who's calling? It's Lenny.
Hey.
Hello, and welcome to the Scrap of Scrap podcast. Hello?
Hello.
I guess he hung up right before I answer.
Well, that's not good.
There he is. Hello, and welcome to the ScrapGov Scrap Podcast. What the hell? All right, hang on. I'll be right back.
Well, that didn't work. Yeah, I think 5 o'clock might be too early under daylight savings time.
You there?
I'm here.
Okay. I can't have, like, I guess because I did Ron Paul, I can't merge Lenny now. So let me...
So you got to hang up and call back in.
No, I don't. He's going to call in.
He's going to call in.
Yep.
Yep.
Once I figure out how to work my phone.
Well, how long have you had it?
Yeah. There we go, making progress. Quick responses. I need to edit this anyways. All right, Lenny's going to join us. Freaking awesome.
All righty.
In the meantime, I'll go back to my notes. Let's see here. GMO flavored cardboard and food paint. That's for our other podcast, although it almost applies here. Yeah, our disclaimer was written for our DD&D podcast, but it pretty much goes both ways. Okay. Oh, okay, here we go. The key to restoring prosperity and liberty is to quit relying on the stupid government and quit using fake money.
Where'd you read that from?
I don't know if Ron Paul said it or if I came up with it or whatnot, but that's what I wrote down.
Well, there's a lot who've come up with that, so...
True that.
I can believe it came out of your own mind. I know it came out of my mind. I'm sure it came out of much wiser minds than my own. So
I'm not very wise.
I don't know.
The Agenda 21 podcast talks about Agenda 21 like we talk about Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, yeah, they do. Well, yeah, yeah, they do, because we don't always talk about Dungeons & Dragons. They don't always talk about Agenda 21.
but you should check out Agenda 21 podcast.
And then there's another podcast called Agenda 31.
Okay.
Which is a spoof on Agenda 21, but... That one actually has some pretty darn good instructions for how to create your own common law ID. So when you get pulled over by the police officer and they ask for your ID and you're not carrying the state-issued one for whatever reason, you can still present them one because, you know, they came up with this because, quite frankly, the police, they're given a job. And they're not given too many options for how to handle anything that doesn't conform with their job, which is a headache for the police. And ultimately, we're told anybody who gives you too much a headache, just arrest them, which is not right, but, you know, it's how they've been instructed. So they don't have an ID. They must be a criminal, so arrest them. And it's usually correct. It's usually some gang member from Mexico.
Hello and welcome to the Scrap Go Scrap podcast.
Well, you got a VIP here, Lenny Ladner, one of the originators of Scrap Go Scrap.
That's it. Yeah, he's the one who basically came up with the idea, and this is basically the spinoff of his ScrapGov Scrap campaign.
Yeah. And you know, it's rather interesting. You know, you had that school shooting a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Usually what happens after 5, 6, 7 days, it disappears from the news. This seems to have a life of its own, and everybody knows it was a false flag. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it was crisis actors. Everybody knows it's actions and reactions, and they don't stop. I don't know what it's going to take anymore. They want to take
right.
away the guns to increase the government's size, cost, reach, and power. Excuse
yeah.
me, they want to take away our guns. The guns of Christians, the guns of patriots, the guns of ordinary Americans, but the lefties and the communists and the elitists, the Muslims and the globalists are going to have their guns.
Right.
So I think we got a little showdown coming.
I think we were just talking about that just before you came online. Not that exact issue, but it's one of Kano's favorite subjects of... You don't need automatic weapons.
Well, you see, when somebody says automatic weapons, to me, automatic weapon is a machine gun. You
That's what they're thinking.
And, an AR-15 is not a machine gun. It's a self-loading civilian rifle.
Well, yeah, most people hear that term. They don't know what it means.
Well, the unfortunate part about most people, and I'm even seeing this in my little community in Lewis County, Tennessee, they've been brainwashed by the media. And the people in the media don't even know the difference between an AR-15 and M-16. But they'll tell you it's the same gun. No, they look the same, but they don't shoot the same.
Right.
We got a day of reckoning coming in this country.
Well,
what are you guys talking about tonight?
That's one of the subjects. We listened to Ron Paul.
Basically, the topic was that we don't need automatic weapons to protect ourselves from a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government that has automatic weapons and tanks and jets and missiles.
Well, I'll tell you
if we're supposed to be guarding ourselves from a tyrannical government, we should be having the same weapons as the tyrannical government.
My good friend Charlie Smith used to say that if they send the tanks, don't try to shoot at the tanks. Get the SOB that sent them.
Yeah.
Right? There were several occasions in the Soviet Union in the 50s. Where the people would protest they weren't getting enough food, and they would send in the army to quell the protesters. Well, when the army saw who was protesting, they refused to shoot on the civilians. So the politicians brought in either Muslims or Asians, who were also Soviet soldiers. You're going to have a lot of people in this country that are going to be answering for a lot of crimes pretty soon.
So basically, they're not going to send their own people after us. They're going to send foreigners after. They're going to recruit foreigners to come to our country and fight us, just like we're going to foreign countries and fighting them.
One group of foreigners that's very entrenched in this country are these animals that call themselves MS-13. Remember a couple of years ago you saw these pictures of these young men hanging off of the trains in El Paso, Texas? They were coming to the United States to look for their families. Well, anybody with any amount of brains could look at these people. These are military-age males. These aren't refugees, and they've been moved into the interior of the country. And what was supposed to happen if Hillary got elected was they were going to be the shock troops into cannon fodder to knock down the guns knock down the doors of the gun owners, while the police and the UN soldiers are in the background. That ain't happening now. Trump's thrown a big wrench into a lot of things.
Yeah,
and that's one of them.
But isn't he creating other problems, even though he's creating some solutions?
What I like to say about the president is you got people that say he can't do nothing right, people that say he can't do nothing wrong, and I say let history judge. He is throwing enough wrenches into the works to hurt the New World Order crowd. That's how I interpret things.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't knocked him off already. I'm surprised they didn't knock him off before he made it to office. To be honest.
Well, he's still increasing the size of the cost of sending and reaching the entire government. It's just not like Obama did.
I did an interview last Monday with something called CYC. I have no idea who they are. And I was asked the question, what do I think about Barack Obama possibly becoming the Secretary General of the United Nations? And after a maniacal laugh for about 2 minutes, I said, if that happens, he's untouchable. So we got to get the hell out of that United Nations.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the United Nations is part of the whole New World Order agenda.
Yeah. If you two guys get a chance, the material is dated, but there was a Hollywood screenwriter in the 20s, 30s, 40s. His name was Myron Fagan, like the character in Oliver Twist. He did a 3-hour LP on the United Nations, the Illuminati, and all of this. It's quite interesting. It's on YouTube. Just
spell his name. Spell his first name.
Myron, M-Y-R-O-N. Fagan, F-A-G-I-N. What you're going to read about him in Wikipedia is not true. This guy knew what he was talking about. The only problem,
Winklepedia.
The only problem, Mr. Fagan, is that he couldn't get along with other people that were trying to fight this fight. He thought he could fight it alone. He would have been a real good addition to the old Birch Society back in the day.
Back in the day.
50s and the 60s.
Yeah, the Birchers, they're an interesting group. They made all these wild predictions about what was going on, and turns out they were pretty much right every time.
I know somebody that knew Bob Welch, and my friend Charlie Smith and Bob knew how to talk in the abstract. They could say a lot in a couple of sentences.
Yeah,
the average person can't really deal with that. There's actually a lot of material of Bob Welch speaking on YouTube. And He was right.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to go buy some guns. I don't have any guns.
Hey, I got a friend.
I got
might sell you one or two.
Gun.
I got a friend that might sell you a gun or two.
Well, yeah, he's been trying to sell me one, or I can get one right now for $500, but I just got other things that I got to do.
Well, I wouldn't buy it from the friend I'm referring to because he's the kind that has a loud mouth.
Oh, that's who I'm talking about.
I know.
I don't care. I mean, you know, I mean, we have loud mouths. We're talking about it on our podcast.
Yeah, who cares if the NSA is listening to us?
Exactly. We're going to protect ourselves against a tyrannical de facto government. A terroristic tyrannical de facto government.
Oh, it's very terroristic when you send out a federal agency to attack high school students.
Right. And then suspend the police officer for not going inside.
Was it a police officer or was it a guard that was hired?
It was a guard.
It was a sheriff deputy.
The sheriff's deputy. Well, they already ruled that they're not there to protect us.
No.
So, why are people upset?
Well, you know, a good friend of mine was a guy by the name of Aaron Zellman, and he started a group called the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. And what that group was about was why you need them. There's no discussion about 224 over 223 or 30-06 versus 308. You know, you got to find a round and a rifle that you're comfortable with or a handgun that you're comfortable with. But Aaron wrote a book in the late 90s called Dial 911 and Die.
Yeah.
And it goes through a lot of instances where people were killed trying to get the police on the phone. And they weren't armed, you know.
Oh, so. Right. My favorite one is the one where the guy calls the cops because these guys are busting into his place and looting, like, his garage or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we don't have an officer in the area. As soon as somebody can get there, it's like 30 minutes to an hour. So he's like, hang on. And he's like, bang, bang. I don't know. He hung up or whatever and then called back. He didn't fire the gun. He called back and said, never mind. I don't need the cops anymore. I need an ambulance or something like that because I just killed both of them. And the cops showed up in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then arrested the robbers.
Well,
the cops showed up and arrested the robbers. And then the cops said, I thought you shot him. I thought you shot them. Says, I thought you guys weren't anywhere near.
Well, I'll tell you what's a sad state of affairs. Somebody breaks into a home, is confronted by the homeowner, and, you know, the homeowner gives them enough time to cease and desist. In other words, lie on the ground face down, and the gentleman breaking and entering decides he's going to attack the homeowner. The homeowner unloads a .38 into the sky. It's obvious after looking into the guy who broke into the home and tried to enter it, he got a rap sheet long into both my arms. He's a troublemaker. He got nothing to do with that neighborhood. There's no way he stopped by this homeowner to borrow a cup of sugar.
Yeah.
So
right?
The police know it's justifiable homicide. The poor homeowner is in shock because he just killed somebody. He killed somebody defending his house. And the police have to do forensics on the gun. I mean, you know, the guy's full of 45 caliber bullets. Bad guy's full of 45 caliber bullets. No reason to do any forensics. And after all is said and done, the local prosecutor decides to go after the homeowner on some technicality. I mean, this is nonsense. You're not even safe in your home. You're not even safe on your city block or on my country road because of some bureaucratic prosecutor? Something's wrong here.
I hear you.
Something's really, really wrong.
So what that prosecutor's saying is they want to be shot.
It's going to come to that. You know.
Yep.
I got a friend back home in New York. He's not a bad person, but doesn't like firearms. And when I bought a 45 when I was living in Florida, what do you need that? Oh, in case somebody tries to break and enter into my house. They're not walking out. You know?
Yeah.
Better to have it, not need it. Because one thing with that 1911, you get dinged. You get zinged or dinged. You ain't getting up.
Well, if your choice is between them walking out and you walking out, you know.
They shouldn't be on my property, and they shouldn't be in my house. So, other than that, we're in a sad state of affairs in these United States. The so-called conservative Republicans are selling us out. Democrats, you know what they're going to do? They're going to protect their they're going to protect their constituents. The people like to break into houses.
Right.
And the Republicans are going to cave? I don't think so.
When I lived in the Bay Area, the neighborhoods in Oakland that had the greatest crime rate were the areas that had the fewest guns. And they had the most strictest
gun rules.
The neighborhoods that had the fewest guns had the most gun crimes.
Same right. Thing in New York, same thing in Chicago.
Oh shoot, what did I see on TV? I was in Bill's house and they had this political commercial on. It wasn't a commercial. It was a news story on like NBC or ABC or something like that. And they were bringing up New York City, the safest big city in the world. What? I was like, what? Safer than Chicago, maybe.
and I ain't say much. I mean, I got smart back in the late 80s. I moved out of there.
Right.
So guns don't cause crime. Gun laws cause crime.
That's right.
Well, maybe it is the safest city, but the question is safe for who?
Safe for the criminals.
You know, I like to watch a lot of old movies, the 20s, 30s, 40s, even the 50s.
Like Metropolis.
And one movie that I would recommend to you two is a movie called Metropolis by Fritz Lang.
We've already watched it.
Okay, good.
The old one or the new one?
No, the old one, 1926,
1927. Yeah, we've watched it.
There's a new one with a soundtrack.
But if you're a listener, you should definitely go and get that movie.
Yeah. And that'll show you the world that these elitists want. They're going to live above ground in the penthouses, and the poor slobs, they're going to run the city and take care of things. They're going to live in the bowels of the city.
Right.
And that's kind of the reason they want to... clean out New York and clean out northern New Jersey and get rid of the middle class. And
now, you know, it's funny about that. There was this nice science fiction that talked about the Morlocks and the Eloi.
The time machine.
Yeah. And the Eloi would basically be the rich people, what they become after they achieve these conditions that you're talking about. And the Morlocks would be those workers that were working underground. And in the end, the Eloi became cattle for the Morlocks.
Yeah, well, the whole thing with the time machine is through the eyes of the Morlocks, we could do anything we want to you. And good old Herbert George Wells, now, until I became politically active, he was just not a science fiction writer. Herbert George Wells was a lifelong Fabian socialist. And I got a book of his at home. I think it's called An Outline of History. Old book. And I looked up Thomas Jefferson. He hates Thomas Jefferson. I wonder why.
Why?
Because Thomas Jefferson supported the common people, not the elite.
Oh.
But good old Herbert George Wells and all of his sexual affairs and his relationship with Stalin during the Ukrainian famine. No, it's bad news. But the whole thing is, if you watch the movies based on H.G. Wells' books or read the books, he's always talking about a super-centralized, super-powerful world government. And he does a real good job in Shape of Things to Come. An Alexander Korda production, I think, 36, 37. It's a heck of a movie, but it's pushing this U.N. agenda before
right.
World War II. You need to see it. Granted, it's dated, but the moral is the same. The United Nations is wings over the world.
That's it.
Create a problem, offer a solution. More government.
More government. And more government problems created by the government. Or more government solutions to problems created by... Yeah. More government solutions for problems that were created by the government.
Got it. And that's a pretty neat trick.
Pretty neat trick.
And I'll tell you what's really scary. Since we did that video back in 2009, maybe.
Uh-huh.
It's been a long time.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion, that video should have at least 100,000 hits. And for some reason, it doesn't.
Well, yeah, because Google probably... Well, it was getting a lot of hits for a while, you know, like right away, and then other people started putting out other videos called Pretty Neat Trick, and they were like magic tricks and stuff like that.
You got it.
But,
you know, I saw a friend of mine out back east sent me a video this morning. I like what the guy said about his background and about the school shootings and about the nonsense on CNN and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But when you hear the very end of it, he's part of the problem. Well, how come the government is not doing anything for mental health? the mental health issue goes back to before I was born. I'm 64. And they were trying to push an agenda to mental health, the bell, the whole bit. And then they had something in Congress called the Alaskan Mental Health Act. In 1956, Alaska was still a territory. It was not a state. The Alaskan Mental Health Act was they were going to use Alaska to set up open-air prisons for anybody who was deemed mentally unhealthy. And nobody believes this. I tell them to get a copy of a book called Mental Robots by Ailson. Ailson was the elected coroner of Los Angeles County. you know,
yeah, I remember.
mental health to these people is that you agree with their agenda. And
well, yeah.
And if you believe in God, you're not mentally healthy. It's, you know, it's a communist thing, man. You know.
Well, yeah. You have to believe that you're a manimal.
Yeah.
Man or other animals.
And when I got back to this friend who sent me the video, I said, I want you to watch the last minute of it again. Tell me what you see. And it was like, oh, my God. Yeah. You know, this whole thing gets you set up so that everything this guy says is right in the first 6 minutes. That last minute, well, the government dropped the ball on mental health. Uh-uh. There's a lot of evidence that this kid who allegedly shot up the school in Florida didn't do it. Another James Earl Ray. So I hope we get justice. I personally hope that this little twerp hog is outed for what he is, and his face is on every billboard in the United States as an enemy of the people. That's all. You want to be a big CNN reporter? It's time to take the heat, kid. Communist News Network. And you heard about this nonsense in April, I guess it has to be April. They're going to walk out of school for 17 minutes or something?
I don't know. I didn't hear about that. But I did, okay. That girl that posted that deal, that sent you that video about the crisis actors,
yeah.
She ended up responding to me. I was thinking about going down there and doing my own investigation, but apparently there was supposedly another crisis actor thing here last month or the beginning of this.
Are we talking about the young lady in Dallas, Betty Washam?
Yes.
A lot of people criticize me for sending that out, and I'm saying what you got to understand is, if we can get the enemy to pull back because we know what they're planning to do, and if Betty Washam's information looks bad because we stop the thing. You see, what these people are afraid of is the threat of exposure. They're not afraid of anything else. So by Betty putting two and two together, and I've never met her, it would be very hard for me to meet her. It would be very hard to get together. But basically, by putting two and two together, she saw an ad in Craigslist for crisis actors for the 4th and the 11th or whatever the dates were. And I said, hey, let's just get this put out. And if it happens, fine. And if we stop it from happening, even better.
Right. I don't know what happened.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Nothing happened because too many people were onto what they wanted to do. Remember a couple of years ago, there was a shooting in Garland, Texas. Some Muslims shot up an anti-Muslim rally.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The day after the shooting, I was on the phone with a broker I know. I don't know. I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to mention names of the company. I don't know if this woman is still involved with this company. I don't think I pulled a load for the last 5 years. But the two of us would get together. We would talk about aeronautics. This woman is a commercial pilot. She's qualified up to two-engine jets, you know, mini jets. And she asked me what I know about the shooting. I said, nothing. And she started telling me about the guns they recovered. And I said, stop. Do you know anybody in the Garland, Texas Police Department? And when I say no, you could call someone up and say, hey, chief, you got to do this. You got to do this right now. Trust me. I guarantee you some of those guns came out of Fast and Furious. And I advised her to tell whoever you know in Garland, Texas, do not let the feds get those guns or get near those guns. Because if you have, and I don't want to say some little town, Garland's not a little town, but if you got some little town police commissioner that stumbles over something and says, hey, ladies and gentlemen, something about this weapon don't make any sense, and it points back to the White House,
Fast and the Furious, right. Explain, I don't understand.
Fast and Furious was set up by Eric Holder. Eric Holder was Obama's first attorney general. Eric Holder was also an assistant attorney general under the Clintons. And Eric Holder, I think he has a master's degree from Columbia University, my neck of the woods, New York City. And he was also involved with the Weathermen.
Okay.
This is a far, far left, anti-American, collectivist elitist. It may be even worse than that. But Eric Holder came up with this idea of taking military weapons, not military-style weapons, military weapons, and the difference between a military weapon and a military-style weapon is a military weapon will fire full auto or burst. Burst is three shots. Pull the trigger, you fire three shots out of the muzzle. And he was going to get these weapons around, get them in the hands of Mexican drug gangs, and when the mayhem started, they were going to start blaming the average gun owners that just want to go to the range Saturday and Sunday, blow some powder. That's it. Create a problem, offer a solution. And the guy that really blew the whistle on Fast and Furious was the late Mike Vanderberg out of Pinson, Alabama. He died a few years ago. But he blew the whistle on them. He figured it out. And I still say a couple of those weapons that shot up Garland, Texas, came out of there. Brian Tracy, a Border Patrol agent. You know, a guy who wanted to do a job. I'm sure the poor guy has no idea what's going on. He wanted to protect the border. He was shot by one of these weapons. That puts Eric Holder in a tremendous amount of jeopardy. That's conspiracy. But I don't see nothing happening. I don't see Eric Holder being pulled out of his office at J.P. Morgan Chase and being put in irons. Or maybe that's to come. I don't know.
Well, if that was to happen, it'd be a symbolic act anyway.
I don't know.
They'd be giving up one of their own in order to maintain their status quo.
Well, I've been reading a lot of these Q quotes, QAnon, whatever. I find them interesting. I hope whoever Q is telling the truth and it's not another rat hole. And I'm saying this off the record. I still say the way to save this country, the only way to save this country, is getting ordinary people to run for any legislative position. A legislative position is city council, county commission, state representative, that's the lower house in any state, or Congress. They don't need to know nothing.
They need to know
they really
nothing
don't.
About nothing.
That'd actually probably be better.
But they need to be able to ask a question about every bill being proposed. Because all they're going to be allowed to do is vote on these bills. Do you want to vote yes or no on the bill? All right? And if they ask this question, and they ask it publicly, I don't tell me I'm going to lose my headset. If this bill passes, will it increase the size, the cost, the reach of power to government? And if any of those conditions are met, vote no on that bill. We got too much government now. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you guys. Give the listeners my website. If the firecracker calls, I'll talk to her on the speaker. Take care, guys.
All right.
All right, you too. Thank you.
All
Thanks for calling in.
Take care, Kato. Thanks, David. Bye.
Yeah. LadnerForCongress.com and or ScrapGovScrap.com.
There you go.
I bought the .us for the podcast.
Yep.
He was going to redirect the .com, but he doesn't. He's not computer savvy and doesn't know how to change the IP address. So I just went ahead and bought the .us, and here we are.
Well, even so, he should be putting the other to use.
He sort of is. It's a blog spot, but I'm the only follower. And he needs more followers, so you should be following him. He's smart. And he's for the people, by the people. He's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to get me to run for Congress for a while. But I don't know. It's just not feasible, I guess is the right word, for me. I'm more of the voice, but at the same time, the state of Missouri makes it so difficult to even run for Congress, let alone win, that me actually being a working man and working out of town, there's no way I'm able to get all my signatures. And be able to actually run. So right now, I'm just working on my popularity contest. And once I think that I might be able to get enough signatures in a couple days to run, I might actually run.
When he said county commissioner, that is actually the position to go for if you're looking at local government.
Well, yeah, and I woke him up to that. You know, he was saying run for Congress because Congress controls the money. And I'm like, well, we need to do that on every level, not just one level. You know, run for the school board, run for the commissioner, run for city council, run for whatever. You know, if you are for the people, by the people, you need to be in office in whatever category is of interest to you. And you should be protecting people. You know, if you're a farmer or you're into farming or you want organic farming, you want to protect the organic farmers, you should be running for an office that oversees and looks out for the farmers. Then, and vote no on anything that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government. Yeah, it's like they got, it's basically every bill increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government. But that's the other thing. You don't even have to run for an office. If you're the person out there voting, you should be voting on no on anything that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach and the power of government. And you should be voting for no on anyone who will do that. You know, who vote no on anyone who will increase the size, the cost, extend the reach and the power of government. Because we've got a problem, and the only way to fix it is to get rid of the problem.
Well, and then there's California has an interesting solution. They have voter initiatives.
What's that?
I might have got the term wrong, but basically, if they're pushing their legislators to push certain laws through, and the legislators say, no, we're not interested in doing that, then then the people themselves can write up a proposal, get enough signatures, and it goes up on the ballot.
Oh, they can bypass the government, basically.
They can bypass the politicians and put things up on the ballot. Now, the last major one that I was aware of when I was out there, the federal government stepped in and said, no, you can't do that because it's unconstitutional, even though it wasn't unconstitutional. If anything, it was supporting the Constitution.
It was ungovernmentitutable.
Yes. It was non-tyrannical.
It was non-tyrannical. It wasn't in their best interest.
Yeah. Which is the reason why you had to go in as a voter initiative in the first place.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and it's like another thing that we talked about previously. You know, the government's not necessarily out to get all of us. You know, because basically the government is people like us. Only problem is it's criminals. Like us.
Well.
So, you know, they're not necessarily out to get us, but they're not necessarily on our team either. Basically, most of them are just paid, you know, they're lining their pockets with the money from other people who want an agenda, who's out to get us. And they're not necessarily out to get us either. They're just out to get ahead at our expense.
Well,
they don't care. Yeah. They don't care about us. They don't care if we succeed or if we fall. All they care about is if they succeed.
Right, and they're willing to do it at our expense.
They are willing to do it at our expense. The only people they care about, and race is not, well, even though there's no such thing as that.
Race is a tool.
A race is a tool, but I mean...
It's a tool. It's anything to divide.
Right, but that's not where I was going with that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter what your nationality is or your skin color, because look at Obama. I mean, we had a half black, half white president. Who would have thought?
No, he wasn't.
That?
He was not.
Half white, half Muslim, whatever he was.
Yeah, he's a whatever he was, but he wasn't halfway half black. Florida. He wasn't even Hawaiian.
Right? But the black community accepted him as their own. We got a black president. Hoo-ha-ha.
Hey, what I like is we elected somebody who doesn't even have a birth certificate.
Right? So, anyway, my point is... There is no racism, you know, there is no, well, that's a different subject, racism, but, you know, black people are not being suppressed by white people. They're being suppressed by the government, and so is everybody else. You know, if you're basically not in line with their agenda, they're suppressing you. No matter what color you are. If you're a criminal, hey, they like you. Because either you give them an excuse to exist, or you're right there with them working for their agenda. And their agenda is to put more and more money and power into their pockets, into their hands. So all they care about is money and power. So if you want to find out, you know, who the problem is, you want to find out who the criminals are, follow the money. You know, follow the paperwork. It's like, who wrote the bills? Who put their names on these bills? Who voted for these bills? who paid these people to write these bills?
Well, and then there's Lenny's, and it's really a very simple solution. That scrap thing that he taught you so thoroughly.
So thoroughly.
So thoroughly. Repeat it for the benefits of those who don't know it.
Well, basically, vote no or unsubscribe, as we would call it, to anything that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government.
Right. Now, you said that slowly, all right? That acronym spells out SCRAP, all right? But say it really slowly. I want people to really hear it thoroughly.
Yeah, SCRAP stands for size, cost, reach, and power. So basically, you know, our jobs are to study the bills, to look at the bills, study the people who's running for office, look at these people and say, do they increase the size, the cost? Do they extend the reach and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government? Or just government in general, if you don't believe they're terrorists. If they're increasing the size, the cost, extending the reach, and the power of government, then we need to vote no on either the person or the bill or whatever. Just unsubscribe. Don't vote for it. Say, we're not going to take this anymore. We're done with the increase in the size of the cost and the extent of the reach and the power of government. We're done with all that. We want our freedoms and our liberties back. We got too much government already.
All right, now say it real fast because it sounds cool when you say it fast.
I just did.
No, say it fast.
What, the size, the cost, extent, reach, and the power of government?
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I've been working on this new one whenever I get pulled over by the cops. I didn't do it the last time because I forgot. But whenever they ask me why they pulled me over, you're supposed to say no. But I'm going to say yes. And then they want me to incriminate myself. Well, I'm going to say, to use terroristic threat to impose Soviet rule in order to increase the size, the cost, extent, and reach of the power of government. I think I might have said the first two parts backwards, but I'm still working on programming that in my head. But yeah. To use terroristic threat to impose Soviet rule to increase the size, the cost, extent, the reach, and the power of government. They'll be like, what?
Basically, I just called you a government thug.
Basically. You're a bully boy. Or girl.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Bole, bole! Bole, bole. Well, I've successfully went through the boxes that I brought back from Oklahoma.
Woohoo.
Now I need to go through my other boxes and get stuff ready for my booth to sell. And I need a bigger container. Or another 20-footer. I like the 40-footers, but they're not as easy to relocate if we have to relocate.
Right. Well, you know, when our neighbors moved out, to be honest, I thought that might have been an opportunity to acquire their property. But I'm actually glad that they're not giving up. You know, they ran into a snafu. And basically it tells me his woman told him, Leah,
the little girl that the little woman who looks like a child told him that it was just her and him, they could pull it off.
Oh yeah. I don't think she looks like a child, but she does look pretty young.
Well, I'd met her a couple of times, and every once in a while I'd walk onto the land and I'd see her and the kids together, and I was wondering where she was, because all I saw was a bunch of children.
Well, maybe you got the problem.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one who thought they saw a child. When I got up closer, it's like, oh yeah, she's a woman. She's just short.
I hear you. I'm just playing.
Yeah.
Whatever.
She is definitely a woman, but she's child-sized, you know. Well,
she's not child-sized. She's just petite and a little short.
Yeah.
But she's not that short.
She's about the same size as my ex.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's been a while since I've seen him, so maybe I'm mistaken, but I didn't think she was that childlike looking, whatever. But then my ex-wife, you know, people used to think I was robbing the cradle. You know?
Yeah.
She didn't look that young either, but she did wear kid-sized clothes, and that kind of drove her crazy because she didn't like that. I liked it, but she didn't.
That was the only thing that she could find it fit, I bet.
Yeah, well, yeah. She had to shop in the kids section, you know.
And the sad thing is, I bet you she could still find sexy clothes.
Well, yeah, especially nowadays. Yeah, I mean, I found places that had adult attire that fit her. And she looked good in. But she tended to have a hard time finding clothes to fit her. Well, you know, you go to Walmart or whatever. I mean, you're not going to find clothes in the adult section that's going to fit a petite, you know, a thin, short woman.
Right.
So, you're just not, it's not common.
So, what time is our next podcast going to be? When's the DD&D podcast going to be now? It's
well, the DD&D podcast is going to be at 9 p.m.
9 p.m.
Central.
Right around sunset.
Correct. And the ScrapGov Scrap podcast, we're talking about moving to Sunday at 5 p.m.
All right. Yeah.
David thought we were going to do it last night, but we hadn't actually put out a notification, and I hadn't changed it on the website yet.
Yeah, and I completely blew it off. I fell asleep, and then I woke up. It's like, oh, shit.
It's all good.
Well, it's all good, because I would have been sitting there listening to the music, waiting for the Kano voice to come on.
Right. Yeah. So, ScrapGovScrap.us. That's our podcast. And DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. That's our other podcast. It started becoming pretty much political, and so that's why I created the spinoff political podcast. We still talk about a lot of political stuff on Demented Dungeons and Dragons, but Demented Dungeons and Dragons is our general podcast to talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons. Lately, we've been talking about gaming.
I like to talk about the farm, and, you know, what could be more political than growing food?
True. Growing your own food is like printing your own money. And,
it is.
The criminals,
well, it's better than printing your own money. You don't have to look for a rare element or anything. When they say money doesn't grow on trees, bullshit. Money most definitely grows on trees.
Right. Well, my kids never challenged me on that, so I guess they weren't as smart as I thought they were.
All right. Anyway, it's been going on 2.5 hours now.
All right. It's supposed to be a short podcast. Problems. It was supposed to be a quickie.
Yeah, well, it didn't make 5 hours, so yeah, it was a short podcast.
No, 3 hours is our norm.
Hey, there's a podcast I listen to on a regular basis. It's the School Sucks Project.
And, what?
School Sucks Project. And
nice.
And it occasionally will go 4 or 5 hours or longer.
Yeah, our website won't let me upload anything more than 3 hours long. Well,
yeah, well,
it will, but I have to FTP it, and I hate FTPing stuff.
I wonder what kind of people listen to podcasts like the ones I listen to, because I will listen to the full School Sucks podcast. I just can't afford to download every single one of them, because then I'd never get anything else done. I don't know how he puts them out. You know, he must have figured out how to squeeze a few more hours into the week in order to achieve what he does, or he doesn't sleep at all. And even then,
probably don't sleep much.
And even then, it's probably questionable about how he pulls it off. But
yeah, well, he's probably got a team.
That might do it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, look at Rush Limbaugh and those other people, Alex Jones. They got a whole bunch of people working for them.
Well, it's easy to put in 100 man hours if you got 100 people.
Exactly.
You know? I bet you 100 people could put together a 10-hour podcast in about an hour.
Pretty much. But yeah, I mean, you know, Alex Jones probably doesn't do all of his own homework. He's got people working for him that does a lot of the homework.
Well, of course.
Just like our government, or whoever's government you want to call it, the de facto government, they don't, the president, hang on, let me get this door closed, if it will close. There we go. The president doesn't go out and research all this stuff that they talk about in their press conferences.
Oh, of course not. Which president pushed for the Homeland Security thing?
Homeland Security.
He was pushing for it. Yeah, the Patriot Act. I mean,
well,
they pushed that through Congress, and they hadn't even printed it yet. How do you vote on something they haven't even printed yet, let alone you haven't had a chance to read?
Yeah,
I
Bush Sr. pretty much put it together and was trying to push it.
Everybody who voted on that should have been drawn and quartered, should have been pulled out into the street and executed by the people. It's like,
oh, yeah.
We hired you to represent us, and you didn't even read it? It's like, and when that was pointed out, they actually started laughing at people who pointed that out. It's like, we don't read any of it. And it's true, they haven't been. They don't have time to read it. They don't even have time to have people read it for them.
Nope. They don't read it. They just vote on it.
They've got...
Oh, yeah. That looks good. Let's do that.
Hey, that's a real nice name. I like that name. Too bad that was the opposite.
Right.
Ooh, I can't vote against that. The people will hate me because look at the name.
Now, they're paid to vote on those things, and that's why they vote on them. They don't read them. They're like, oh, yeah, I got paid to vote on that, so I'm going to vote on that.
It's the Save the Unicorn Act. I can't vote against that.
Oh, I like unicorns.
Oh yeah, you like unicorns. And if your congressman votes against it, you're gonna be, you know, you're gonna be all up in his, you know, doesn't matter, they don't exist.
How dare you vote against the unicorn?
Actually, unicorns do exist, but not the way people think they do. But anyway, all the same.
Yeah.
All right. So, go to, I almost gave them the wrong website. Tell them the correct website.
Well, there's two of them. ScrapGovScrap.com and ScrapGovScrap.us.
Right, where I'm sure you'll find all the contact information. I haven't looked at either one yet. I'm sorry, folks. I'm delinquent.
The .com does not have any information about the podcast.
All right, well, go to the .us to get information about the podcast, how to contact us, when to listen, how to listen, how to talk to us. Please talk to us.
Yeah!
We're so lonely!
No.
Actually, I am, but that's not the reason you should call.
Yeah, she should call too.
Yeah, if you're concerned about me being lonely and you are of childbearing age, young female who would enjoy living Amish style with
off
solar
grid.
Panels, off grid. Then feel free to call me. I believe my number will be on that website as well. But no, seriously, that is serious. But seriously, though, if contacting the podcast and such, you know, go to the website, get our phone number, get the contact information, call in. I believe my phone number should be there as well. Call me and I will arrange whatever interview you wish to do. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Smell you next time.
Good night, folks.
Sorry, moving boxes. Okay, I'm hanging up now.